Madam Chair. I join my colleagues in welcoming the distinguished delegation, and I commend you for all the legislative reforms that you have done, which address almost all aspects of the Article 10 questions I'll be asking. I note your law of 21.275, which intends to prevent, punish, and eradicate gender-based violence against women. And in Article 6, it promotes non-sexist education, and 9 measures a gender perspective in the elaboration of educational plans, which responds to our concluding observations. So my questions are, what strategy does the work plan or initiatives have to prevent the production and dissemination of gender stereotyped educational material, gendered behavior in teaching and learning processes, to ensure mandatory training and certification for teaching staff at all levels, from early childhood to higher education? And how is this monitored? What are the guidelines, redress systems? And has anyone been punished or sanctioned for violation of this law? Now we move to inclusive education. Again, I note the disability service has programs aimed at overcoming discrimination against women and girls with disabilities, and you have an identifier for migrant children and adolescents who do not have identification numbers. Also, there's a language policy for Indigenous people. So the question is, what is the take-up rate for this language policy? And what monitoring is in place to ensure quality control and that it empowers and does not stigmatize? And what specific measures do you have at all levels for women and girls with disability and the vulnerable groups like migrants, refugee, asylum-seeking, Afro-descendant women, and women belonging to ethnic minorities? What are their enrollment rates, primary, secondary, and tertiary? And what temporary special measures have been put in place to ensure that they each achieve equal education? And could you tell us the impact? Specifically in regards to visual and auditory impairment, I would like to know your compliance with disability-friendly physical environments, with learning equipment like Braille and sign language, and how have you ensured that learners with auditory disabilities are integrated with the adequate tools in light of the phasing out of specialized schools and their transition rates to tertiary education? We also want to look at the issue of attrition. What are the completion and progression rates of women who have left school prematurely back into the educational system, and avenues for vocational and training? We'd also like to know about vertical segregation, the occupation of women in higher levels of education. We commend again your STEM program. But against that STEM program, we know that in professional and technical education, women represent over 80% of those in feminized areas, such as secretarial work. So how do the STEM initiatives feed into and address the technical education choices of women? And what structural barriers still remain in place? Can we then move to the issue of technology in education and ensuring that it empowers girls and they are trained how to avoid online sexual harassment? Madam Chair, let me just finish with a comprehensive sexuality education, because it is a really sticking point. We know that your program is within the health framework and is based on fertility issues, and it was only in the second cycle program. There was a lot of resistance to upgrading this form of education. And we know that it is not compulsory, and it depends on the preferences of the parents. We ask you to look at the CEDAW standard and provide updated information to us on the strategies that you will use to ensure that it is mandatory, universal, age-appropriate, and throughout the continuum, and that it addresses pregnancy, which is a problem, but it has been attributed, it has reduced, but it is not attributable to the comprehensive sexuality education, but to the contraception program. Thank you very much, and thank you, Madam Chair.